How long have you been working on this book?
I've been working on the book for 10 years now. 10 years ago, when my daughter was a year old, we were at the playground in Manitou Springs, and I was looking at the playground equipment that was there. And it was just a little plastic structure with a mini slide and a little monkey bar. And I was thinking, you know, where's the great equipment that I remember growing up on in the 1960s and 70s, where the metal slides and the wooden seesaws and the merry-go-rounds. And so soon after that, I started checking out a couple of the other playgrounds in the area, and I realized really quickly that that type of equipment is disappearing very quickly. There was very little of it left even back then, and it was very hard to find. And I thought that was a shame, because I knew that generations of Americans grew up playing on this equipment, and it was the source of very fond childhood memories. It's part of the country's cultural history. And I didn't see that anybody else was documenting it, so I decided I would take photographs of as many remaining pieces that I could find before they were gone forever.
Two of the things that I think even my 13-year-old son notices that have disappeared are the really long-chained swings and the big, tall metal slides.
Yeah, the metal slides are really hard to find these days. I have some of my favorite photos in the book are of these big old slides.
And yes, one with the butt print.
Yes,
it's
I
so
love
fantastic.
That probably
at
also
the top, yeah.
Is one of, it's probably been there for decades. And I keep thinking how many thousands and thousands of kids went down that slide to make that impression in the top.
I presume that most of these things are gone because of safety issues. Is that necessarily what it is, or is it just everybody starts updating their equipment and it just happens?
I think it's both. I think there's perceived safety issues. There are guidelines out now that weren't out decades ago that talk about how tall these structures should be and what kind of materials they should be made out of. And even though they're not requirements, I think there is some fear among people who are responsible for school and park playgrounds that they need to replace this stuff before they get sued. But I also think in a lot of cases, it's just they think, you know, parents and kids want the new stuff. This, you know, slide may have been there for 40 years and they feel like, okay, it's just time for an upgrade. And it's not always safer stuff that they put in. I saw some data recently that looked at the number of injuries from playgrounds from 40 years ago compared to just a few years ago when there was much less of this older equipment still around, and they were very similar.
I noticed in looking at the back of the book where you list where all the photographs were shot that many of them are obviously in Colorado. You live in Colorado, which makes sense, but most of it is in the Midwest, and I wonder, is that just a factor of where you traveled, or have people in the Midwest been more likely to preserve the older playgrounds?
It's really more of due to where I was able to get to shoot. Because I live in Colorado, and because especially then when I started this project, my kids were very young, so it's not like I could just hop in the car and drive around for 2 weeks. So I would do weekend trips, or if I was on vacation, I would rent a car and take off for a day or two. And so a lot of the shots are from Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, but I did get out to California, I got out to Virginia, to Pennsylvania, and I was wanting to get to as many places as I could. But I also knew that I had been working on the series for a long time, and it was kind of time to bring it together. And so I decided that the pictures I had gotten, even though they maybe many of them are in the Southwest, they're representative of the equipment that's all over the country.
One of the great things about this book are the old advertisements for the equipment. And I believe you have photographs of most of the pieces that are advertised, which is also great. But talk about the cultural history of playgrounds and some of the research you did for the book.
Well, when I first started the project, I decided, let me see who else is, if anybody else is shooting playgrounds, or let me learn a little bit more about playgrounds. And so I was on the computer, and I stumbled across an eBay auction for an old playground manufacturer's catalog from the 1930s. And so I bid on it, and I got it for like $12. And when I got it at home and I started looking at it, I realized how interesting it was to see how these original, the manufacturers talked about this newfangled equipment back in the 1930s, or I even have ones that go back to 1916 and how safe it was and all of this. And I started reading more and more, and I didn't know this, and I found it very interesting that playgrounds first became popular in the United States in the early 1900s as part of the reform movement. People wanted to get city kids off the streets. They were getting hit by cars. They were getting or horse-drawn carriage. They were getting in trouble. And they thought, especially in the inner cities where there were a lot of immigrant children living very close together, they decided these playgrounds would be a great space to get these kids off the street, but also kind of get them familiar with American customs and teamwork, teach them teamwork and responsibility and all of that. And so they started in the cities, but then by the 1920s, late 20s, it became more towns and smaller cities around the country decided they were going to start installing these newfangled playgrounds because kids were enjoying them so much.
How much do you think is driven in these photographs by nostalgia, and how much of it do you think is really lamenting a kind of design and a kind of childhood freedom that's missing? Or will there be someone in 40 years doing the same book with the current playground equipment as they replace it for something else?
There might be. I think a lot of it is nostalgia because people don't really think about playgrounds. I certainly didn't as an adult until I started this project or I started visiting more playgrounds with my kids. And then so when people see playgrounds or see this book, they think, oh, I remember that. And they start telling me all these stories about their fond memories of childhood. So I think there a lot of the appeal is nostalgic. But I think a lot of people find it interesting how many different types of designs were out there. And one of the things that I found really interesting were the cultural references that these designs some of the equipment indicated as far as what was going on in society at that point. Like in the 60s and 70s, all of a sudden you see a lot of playground equipment in the shape of rocket ships and satellites and lunar landers and all that, which reflected what people were excited about at that time.
Brenda Biondo, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.